Welcome to the Compass Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Phil Bray.
Okay, so this last month we've been looking at what's the difference, and as Nat said, we've been getting fantastic response and feedback from that series, which is great. And so what we wanted to do this morning is present to you, in simplest form, and we're limited in time, and as the other speakers were, we're trying to present a lot of information about the given topic. But this morning, I really want to present to you a little bit about what the Christian faith is about, and to give you some good news. In fact, I've got good news and I've got bad news. What do you want first? Bad? You see, to understand the good news, you actually have to understand the bad news. All right? So the bad news is, does anyone know who Sergeant Richie is? Sergeant Richie. Who's ever had a letter from Sergeant Richie? You know, kind of, they take such interest in you and your life and you driving on the roads that they would take a photo of you, and then they would want to write a letter to let you know, hey, we've taken your photo, and just for the privilege, you can pay for that photo. You know, like Sergeant Richie, you know, he was so kind that he actually sent me a letter just to inform me out of the generosity of his heart. And there really is a guy named Sergeant Richie, by the way. There really is, that sits in the office and apparently processes all of the fines. But he sent me that letter to say that, you know, out of courtesy, Phil, you were only doing 3Ks over the speed limit. So for that privilege, Phil, you can pay us a few hundred dollars. Oh, the joy. That's part of the bad news. But do you know, like, you know, when I got that piece of paper, there were certain emotions and feelings that welled up inside me of no joy. And contributing to the annual Christmas police Christmas party, I wasn't overjoyed with that and thinking what I could do with that money. And I was kind of starting to get a bit angry about it and sort of annoyed with myself and annoyed with Sergeant Richie, whoever it might be. And just like, go and catch some real criminals, seriously. What are you doing with your time? You know, sort of, don't look at me like that. You've all thought the same sort of thing. And I just started to thinking, like, going, wow, you know, here I am confronted with something that I've done wrong. And I'd broken the law, obviously. And it just took me a trip down memory lane. I vaguely remember, but my brothers and sisters love to remind me of this, that when I was just a little tacker, apparently I took, and this is back in the early 70s, you know, mid-70s, I should say. Yes, I am old. But in the mid-70s, I took $50 out of my mum's purse. Number one, I don't think mum and dad ever had a $50 note before, but I decided to take it. I mean, that's the equivalent of what, like a couple hundred dollars now? Have to be, inflation and whatever. And I took that and I thought that I'd go down the local milk bar and I'd buy $50 worth of mixed lollies. Like, and that was when you could get 3 lollies for a cent, for 1 cent. Do you remember the copper coins, 1 cent and 2 cents? You know, some of you are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Way before your time, obviously. And we used to have $1 and $2 notes, if you didn't know. But like, yeah, so, and like the milk bar owner kind of thought that it would be in my best interest and my mum's to ring mum and say, we have your son down here. And not long after that, apparently I ran away from home and I was running around and sitting in the police station, and mum and dad found me eventually. And there I am sitting there with my feet not touching the ground but swinging my legs with the policeman sitting next to me. As mum and dad walked in, I just said, don't worry, I won't ever do it again. It's fine. It's okay. And then I was just thinking about some of the other little occurrences. As I got a bit older, you know, I remember I was skating with some mates down a hill because there was no surf where we were living. So I was skating down this hill and we're just trying to see who could do, like, go down the fastest and ollie this little section and then whatever. But what happened was, as I tried to land my ollie, I kind of hit a little gap in the footpath, and I kind of lost control. And because I was going so fast, there was two permapine posts, but there was a permapine beam that went that way, right? So my mates are watching this, and they come running down because they could see me. It all happens in slow motion. And I come off, and I just, both of my shins hit that permapine, and I did pretty much like a full 360, like just a full somersault, landed flat on my back. It winded the bejeebers out of me, and I'm lying on the ground, and all my mates are coming down, and as they do, they just laugh. Of course they do. And I'm there, but then all of a sudden, words started coming out of my mouth. All the wrong words started coming out of my mouth. It was just beep, 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 and whatever. And all my mates stopped laughing. And they're standing there and they're kind of like just looking at me as I'm swearing and whatever. And like I'm just in so much. I thought I'd broken both my legs. And I'm just going, And they're looking at me and they're just going, he must be hurt. Phil, we've never heard Phil swear before. It's like, he must be really hurt. And I'm like, and I even, and I'm embarrassed to say, I even said the Lord's name in vain. I was even like, oh, Jesus, you know, like just in the totally wrong context. And yet, you know, like it was amazing sometimes when you smash your thumb with a hammer or something, it's not, oh, Buddha. It's not, oh, Muhammad. What do we say? And we'll get to this in a minute maybe, but like, you know, there is such a great power in the name of Jesus Christ that there is no other name that carries the same power. It's the only name that people choose to use universally as a blasphemy, as a swear word. But anyway, I find myself on the ground and my mates actually then switch from laughter to sincere and genuine concern because I was actually swearing. And when I got up, I just could not believe that I had just done that. That I just didn't make the ollie, that is. No, I couldn't believe that I actually just had sworn like that. And just I'm just thinking, oh man, I just really messed up that time. That was just not good. And I just think about other times in my life, you know, who remembers when paddle pop competitions came out? And the first one when you could, the paddle pop, win a prize, liquor prize? I remember when it first came out, and it was actually when I think it was Gallagher was on the stand-up upright machine, and that you could, who remembers Gallagher? Yeah, and the game, 20 cents was all it took to play a game, right? And I remember back in the day, if you wanted to have a shot in the game, you had to put your 20 cents on the machine, and when your 20 cents came up, then it was your go. And because I'm waiting and waiting for my turn, and it was a hot day, I ran into the milk bar, and I grabbed a paddle pop, and my turn came up next, so I just ran out, not even thinking. And then, like, I play the game, and I go home, and I sat down that night with my paddle pop stick. And it was like, you know, for a BMX bike, you needed 3 paddle pop sticks for the BMX bike. And I wanted the BMX bike and I'm looking at it. And then it just hit me. I didn't pay for the paddle pop. I stole a paddle pop. I can't believe that I just stole a paddle pop. Yeah, I know, hard life of crime. I can just. I'm thinking about these things that I've done wrong, all because of the letter that Sergeant Richie had sent me. And I'm just thinking about all this other stuff. And I'm just thinking about, you know, maybe not the things like that. But maybe it's just like some of the anger issues I used to have. Now, on the football field, I was a very different kind of person. For me, I could justify rage and anger when you step over the white line. And yes, I did experience white line fever. But I never got reported, but I did hurt a lot of people. Not necessarily proud of that. Well, yeah, I am proud of that. It's what you're doing playing footy. But like just certain feelings and emotions towards somebody that I just knew I shouldn't have had. And just thinking about, you know, like as I was going through uni, because, I was, you know, you're just a pov uni student, but I grew up with nothing, but I started to mix with all these people from like just some of the most expensive schools in South Australia and going to visit their place and just seeing the stuff they had and just these, to be honest, just these feelings of jealousy that I had towards them, just going, how is it, why do they have all this stuff? It's like, here I am struggling and I've got to work 2 part-time jobs just to get through uni and these guys can just kick back and their parents are just throwing money at them and stuff and it's just not fair and oh, poor me, whinge, moan, complain and just, but it really it was just an underlying kind of jealousy of what these guys had. And it's like, and then there's like all this other stuff that happened in my life that's absolutely none of your business. There's all this other stuff that's a lot worse than that. I mean, like, you know, just, I remember sitting in a drug dealer's room and I'm sitting there and we just smoked some cones and I'm just sitting there watching this guy do this, worm, from 1 a.m. to 2:30, worm, worm. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself as I'm sort of like trying to pretend I'm straight and I'm like just watching him just going, this guy's got to be the biggest idiot I've ever met in my life. Like seriously, how can you sit there for an hour and a half and go, worm, worm? And then it hit me He's not the idiot, I'm the idiot. Because I'm watching him do that for an hour and a half. Worm, worm. Go home, climb through my bedroom window, jump into bed. And then there's all this other stuff that I can't say if it's recorded. But like, I don't know, does anyone in this room relate to any of those stories that I've just said? But I don't want to, it's none of my business what it is. But put your hand up if any of that stuff relates to you. No. That's called a Messiah complex, people. And Kate will come and explain what the Messiah complex is, and Ben, and we will certainly be able to help you with that. But my point is like, you know, if we just stop for a millisecond and just reflect on our lives, if we remember where we've come from, what we maybe used to do, or maybe still doing. It's like none of us in this room is perfect. And I think, you know, there's consequences for that. But I've asked Andrew to sing a song for us this morning, and I'm sure you will know this song. But there's particularly a line in this song that I want to refer to in a minute. But in the meantime, can we please put our hands together for Andrew and enjoy this song?
I can't believe you're talking about all this stuff. I was thinking about this. Yes. Anyway, I can believe you're talking about this stuff, yeah.
Feeling my way through the darkness, guided by a beating heart. I can't tell where the journey will end, but I know where to start. Tell me I'm too young to understand. Say I'm caught up in a dream. Well, life will pass me by if I don't open up my eyes. Well, that's fine by me. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. Yeah.
Oh, clap your hands if you want to.
I try carrying the weight of the world, but I only have two hands. I hope I get a chance to travel the world, but I don't have any plans. I wish that I could stay forever this young, not afraid to close my eyes. Life's a game made for everyone, and love is a prize. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. 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 So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
You! All right. Thank you. Anyone heard that song before? There's the line in there, I guess, that really captured my attention was that all this time I've been finding myself and I didn't know I was lost. And I think sometimes we can go through life like that, especially when it comes to God and having a relationship with God. Sometimes we can try and find ourselves through different ways and means and not even realize it. But in the midst of all that, not even realize I'm lost. Lost from what? Lost from a connection with God. And now I don't know where you're at personally. I don't know how you view your relationship with God. I don't know whether you've actually ever thought about where you sit in your relationship with God, or whether that the word being lost or blind or not being able to see and has ever crossed your mind in that frame. But for me, I know that there is a God who knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you've been doing, what you're doing, going to do, and he loves you anyway. You've got to know that there is a God that loves you just the way you are. You know, and the Bible says that like me, in my little few stories that I was happy to share just a few minutes ago, the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For all have sinned. So Phil Brake has sinned. Phil Brake still sins. But every single one of us in this room have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What is sin? Yeah, it's a Bible word and we don't throw it around in society, but sin is transgression, wrongdoing. It's where we miss the mark, where we fall short of the standard. And it's this sin that separates us from God. All of my wrongdoings, those things are the things that separated me from God. One of the things I love about Christianity is that Christianity is one of the only religions that has a clear definition and explanation of where evil came from and why there is evil and the consequences of that evil. It's one of the only belief systems where it can clearly explain about evil and the origin of evil and the consequences of evil. See, there was a particular angel that God had created. God being eternal, God existed outside of time and exists outside of time. So before we have any knowledge or awareness of time, God existed and he will always exist. And in that time frame before what we know as time, where time began, God created angelic beings. And one of his prized angels, Lucifer, also known as Satan or the devil, is described as becoming so proud and conceited. And we see these words where the devil says, I will exalt myself. I will become greater than God. And so there's this whole idea of this pride and rebellion and conceitedness in him. And he desired to be greater than God. So God can't, being a holy, just, perfect God, can't tolerate sin and pride being a sin. And so God casts the devil out of heaven and a third of the angels go with him. And so we just know purely from the fact that, number one, God is all-powerful anyway. But here we have an example that if the devil's got a third of the angels, means that two-thirds are still with God. So if ever you need help, you've got two onto one. That's good odds. So then we fast-track to the beginning of time, as the Bible describes, as the creation account in Genesis. And we see that God creates mankind. He creates Adam and Eve along with everything else. And he places them in the garden. And he says that there's one thing you can't do. Eat of the knowledge of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And you're not allowed to touch that. And God actually wants and desires this personal relationship with mankind. Not from a distance, not from afar, but to walk and to come daily and communicate with his creation. That's always been God's desire, that he wants a relationship with you and me. And so God does that. And so we know that mankind blows it, and they blow it big time to the point where they get deceived by Satan in the garden and where they get told that you can be as God and as like God. And so therefore, why don't you eat of this tree? And they do, and they mess it up. And so what happens in that action of disobedience, death enters creation. And so it's not just a physical death and things begin to die, plants and animals and man begins to die, but more importantly and devastatingly, there is a death in the relationship between God and man. And so no longer is it this walking together, but there's this separation between God and man, and that separation came about because of man's disobedience and that thing called sin. Man fell short of God's perfect standard. Now, I still don't understand why God created mankind with the ability to choose, because if I was God, wouldn't have a choice. It'd just be like, you will worship and serve Phil, no questions asked. But we have this benevolent God that allows us the ability to choose or reject him. Doesn't that tell you something about the character and the nature of God, that he would give you the ability to choose? And so we have this idea that mankind is now separated from God. And it's like anyone that is born after Adam, in a sense, inherits Adam's sin and that sin nature, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, I describe it like this, and you've probably seen me do this, but to illustrate my point, if we have God over this side, pure good and nothing evil or bad in that at all on this side, but if we have Satan and his demons and we have evil over this side where there is no good whatsoever, is pure hatred and anger and deceit and destruction. He wants to come to steal, kill and destroy is just situated over here. And yet we have this loving, caring God that wants to bring life and peace and joy and hope over this side. Now, if we were to draw a line between the two, Where would you place yourself on this line? Pure evil over to perfect good. Now, we've already heard this morning that somebody thinks they're already over here. Over here being perfect. I don't want to burst your bubble, but I'm sorry, none of us are. But whereabouts would you put yourself on this continuum? Now, some of you would actually put yourself down to closer to this end because you've got some pretty dark, horrible secrets in your world. Some of you may put yourself in the middle. Some of you just go, no, look, you know, I've been blessed. I really haven't done too much wrong in my life. Yeah, I can relate to Phil stealing a potter pot, but that's about as bad as it got for me. So, yeah, I'm up here this end. But the reality is for every single one of us in the room, there is a gap between where we are and where a perfect God is. And the thing is that sometimes in life, like we heard in that song, we go trying to find ourselves and we try to bridge this gap because Ecclesiastes says that God has set eternity in the hearts of man. That God has placed within us this desire to be in connection, in relationship with him. And sometimes we try to fill that and with all sorts of different things. Sometimes it's money, that I can buy my way to that. Sometimes we think that it's sex or it's alcohol or it's drugs, that that's what's going to do it. But the Bible says that there is nothing that can bridge the gap except one thing. One thing. You see, the Bible says that for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Gee, I'm full of good news this morning, aren't I? But I did say I have to tell you the bad news before I can get to the good news. You see, just like I have got this letter from Sergeant Richie expressing his love, care, and affection for me, I have to pay for the privilege. Well, no, it's just a penalty. It's a fine for me breaking the law. And you see, God is perfect and in him is no evil or wrong. And so when we fall short of his perfect standard, when we sin, there is a penalty. There is a price for that sin for all of us. There is a price and a penalty. And in Romans 6:23, it says that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. The wages of sin is death. Pretty heavy words. This is the bad news. This is the bad news. That the penalty, the price that we pay for falling short of God's perfect standard is death. Not just physical death, but eternal separation from God, which is a kind of a scary thing. Have you ever tried to get your head around forever? Have you ever tried to think about what will heaven do? It just hurts. It just hurts my head when I try to think about forever. So I just don't think about it. I just embrace it. But what does this mean? So that's the bad news. The bad news. But do you want to hear some good news? Yeah, we all like good news. And the Easter story last weekend is part of the solution to what I'm actually talking about here today. We see throughout the Bible that God has always provided a way for mankind to be in relationship with him. Again, that's just the nature and the character of the God of the Bible, that he's desired that relationship with mankind. And the Bible's broken up mainly into two sections. There's the Old Testament and there's the New Testament. And the Old Testament is all about God's relationship with mankind before Jesus Christ came. And then the New Testament is about God's relationship with mankind through his son, Jesus Christ. And then what happened in it, how it changed history. Somebody's put it like this, that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, but the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Well, let me put it another way. The Old Testament is Jesus Christ concealed, but the New Testament is Jesus Christ revealed. Are you with me? So in the Old Testament, we have this idea that if you do good, you get good. Or if you do bad, you get bad. That's kind of like the Old Testament kind of sense of the relationship between God and man before Jesus. But in the New Testament, it's totally changed. It's not based on what you or I do. None of us can earn God's favor or goodness or kindness. He's given us access to all that he is through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. And let's just quickly take a look at the life of Jesus, because I think this is fascinating. Now, all scholars will agree that Jesus Christ lived and he walked as a man upon the planet. Now Jesus was born around 4 BC to the Virgin Mary, that God, the Holy Spirit, came upon her and she was with child, and she gave birth to Jesus Christ, according to the Christmas story that we know, in Bethlehem, and he was crucified somewhere between 30 and 34 AD. Now, even Jesus' birth itself was a fulfillment, as was the rest of his life, of over 300 prophecies that were predicting who the Messiah would be and what he would be like. Even his birth is predicted, and you, who knows that you can't choose where you're born. Now, this wasn't manipulated. It wasn't manufactured by mankind. Circumstances forced Joseph and Mary to go to where they had to go. So even from the very beginning, his conception, but even from the very beginning of Jesus' life, where he was born was the beginning of the fulfillment of Scripture. So Jesus Christ, there's something very special about this man, Jesus Christ. And so different scholars over the years have described Jesus in different ways. Some of them say that he was the leader of an apocalyptic movement. He was the Messiah. Some say he was a charismatic healer. Some say that he was a sage and a philosopher. Others say that he was an egalitarian social reformer. And if you're not sure what that is, hit Google, Wikipedia, whichever, but you'll be able to get a definition there. But little is known about the early life of Jesus. We know that he's dedicated at the temple. We know that at the age of 12, that he gets left behind. His parents sort of don't realize he's around, which I don't kind of get that. Like, where am I? Miss my kid for a day. It's not like I kind of, oh, no, they'll be fine for a day. Just not. But anyway, Jesus is found in the temple. And at the age of 12, he is literally blowing all the religious leaders away with his answers and with his questions and his wisdom about the law. Quite amazing. But then from the age of 12 to 20, we don't know much, 12 to 30, sorry, we don't know much about Jesus except that he's described as becoming a tradesman, a carpenter. And outside of the New Testament accounts, the association of Jesus with woodworking is a constant in the traditions of the early church. So it was a common thing. Way back in the first, second century, it was a common thought and belief that Jesus was a carpenter. And even Justin Martyr, one of the first and earliest church leaders, wrote that Jesus made yokes and plows. So from the age of 12 to 30, we see this life forming and becoming a carpenter. And then at the age of 30, we see that Jesus gets baptized. And at that, there's the voice of God and there's the appearance of the Holy Spirit as a dove coming upon Jesus. He's baptized by John the Baptist. And then Jesus goes out into the wilderness to fast for 40 days. And when he comes back from praying and fasting for 40 days, he starts his earthly ministry, as we would call it. And we know that his first miracle takes place at a wedding where he turns water into wine. And almost reluctantly, but he gets pressured and he gets nagged by his mother and he wants to keep mum happy, because if mum ain't happy, nobody's happy. But he turns water into wine. And then we go on and we see the life of Jesus, and he's described, you know, by some people as a Jewish rabbi from Galilee who preached his message orally. He was baptized by John the Baptist, and then his teachings. I guess you could break up his ministry life into three main areas. There was prayer, there was teachings, and there was miracles. You could probably break it up. Prayer speaks for itself. But even teachings, even for non-religious people, they would say that Jesus' teachings are some of the greatest teachings and values and principles for life that we have available to us today. Even if you take the whole God deity, that he was God, all of that stuff out of it, but just purely, if we just look at his teachings, the impact of his teachings was so significant and still has life. There are so many aspects of our Western society today that have been built upon the principles that Jesus outlined through his teachings. I mean, and Jesus did some pretty amazing things. He self-proclaimed to be the Son of God, therefore making himself equal with God. So you could understand why the religious leaders of the day were not happy with him, because here we have this guy that's sort of he's a heretic. He should not be saying these sort of things. But Jesus even self-prophesied that he was going to die and that he would rise again. Whole bunch of things. And his miracles. Again, you know, there's different scholars that would try to refute his miracles and dismiss them and say that they were smoke and mirrors, that they were a whole bunch of different things. But if we take a look in essence of Jesus' miracles, there wasn't one aspect of life that he didn't demonstrate authority over. So we can see that the sick he healed, the dead he rose back to life, the blind eyes he opened, deaf ears he healed, the mute he got to be able to speak, diseases, he just healed all kinds of diseases. We see that he had authority and power over the natural elements. He walks on water, he calms seas and raging storms. We see that Jesus has authority over the spiritual, the demonic realms. He sets people free, the demoniacs, he sets them free. People that were being tormented and living horrible lives, he came and he set them free. He fed people multiplied food exponentially so that there was actually, you know, starting off with just a handful of food and ending up with 12 basket loads full at the end of it for people to take back home to provide for their villages and townships. So we take a look at Jesus' miracles. I mean, he's set apart. I mean, the miracles are there, yes, to demonstrate that he is very much the Son of God and he has a power and he has authority over all things, reinforcing his self-claim that he was actually the Son of God. So Jesus Christ demonstrates his deity through his miracles, one of the reasons why he performed miracles. But ultimately, Jesus' life is quite mind-blowing when you think about it. They're not just good bedtime stories, but it's his life. But it's more so his death that the greatest victory and accomplishment and achievement was made. We see here through his death, burial, and resurrection that truly history for all mankind is changed. We know through the Easter story the torturous death that Jesus Christ had to go through, and he's nailed upon that cross. And even as he's hanging there upon that cross, he's able to show his heart and his selfless nature to be able to say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what we do." He was able to turn to one of the criminals that was hanging on a cross next to him and say, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And we see these unbelievable words that Jesus Christ says that reverberate throughout the corridors of history for us, and that is, "It is finished." A Greek legal term saying that the debt, have you made the connection? The debt, the fine, the penalty. The debt, the fine, the penalty for your sin, for my sin, has been paid for in full. So as Jesus hangs upon the cross, fully God, fully man, God himself giving himself up because he was the only one that was worthy. He that knew no sin became sin. A sinless life hanging upon the cross, taking all of my sin. So Jesus wasn't just dying for me. He was dying, as we heard last week, as me. That yes, I am responsible for the death of an innocent man, and so are you. That it was you, it was me that put Jesus Christ upon the cross. And so Jesus dies there in my place, so I don't have to die the death that I actually deserve, because you heard some of my wrongdoing. And for my wrongdoing, there should be a penalty, there should be a price. Beyond me paying my fine to Sergeant Richie, I've fallen way short of God's standard, and so therefore I should pay a penalty. But God says, no, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son to hang upon a cross, to die as you, in your place, to pay the price, to bridge the gap between wherever you may be and wherever God is over here. So there is nothing that we can do to bridge the gap. Yes, we will try. I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit when I was 13. My first real encounter with God, and somebody prayed for me, and it was just like all of a sudden I was on fire, and I'd never heard about speaking in tongues and stuff, but all of a sudden I just found myself starting to speak in tongues and just going, wow, this is, it's just all started to happen. Encountering the presence of God like that, but during my teenage years when I did some of the things that I just said I did and other things that are none of your business, when I was in the midst of them, but even when I was stoned and watching the guy do Worm, I had this moment of clarity where I went, this does not come close to the being in the presence of God. You see, when you experience the presence of God, you begin to understand that everything else that this world has to offer is so temporary. It's such a counterfeit. It is just so, so temporary. It's such a great word. Because, yeah, we try to get this sense of fulfillment and satisfaction through sex, through drugs, through different things. And there'll be a moment of satisfaction. But when it's over. And we end up with this sense of emptiness and void. And we've got to go searching for it again. But in the presence of God, when you ask Jesus Christ into your life and you allow his love to fill your life, it truly satisfies. It truly satisfies. And if there's anything that I hunger after more than anything else in this world, it's to be in the presence of God. It's to be in this presence where I just go, you're all that satisfies. Because when you get the real thing, when you have the authentic thing, the counterfeits just fall way short. I don't know if you've found that. If you've never found that, you can experience that. It's not mine to give. It's something that God has already provided for you as a free gift. And so we're told that the penalty for my sin is death and eternal separation from God. But the gift of God through Christ his Son is eternal life. Romans 5, 8 and 9 says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." What an amazing God. He didn't have to do that for you or for me. We have this God that while we were yet sinners, while we still, he knew that we had the choice of choosing or rejecting him, he still went through with it and he died for you and me. And listening to the speech at the dawn service on Anzac Day to the ex-principal of Mentone Grammar, he summed it up by quoting at the end of his speech, John chapter 15, verse 13, "There is no greater love than he to lay down one's life for one's friend." Inscribed in the stone inside the shrine, as remember the great sacrifice of the people that gave their life for us so we can enjoy the luxuries that we have here today. I'm not an advocate of war, but let me just say this, freedom is never free. Freedom is never free. We're happy to enjoy the luxuries of freedom, but we want to criticize the price that was paid so we can experience that. I'll get off my soapbox, but the reality is for our spiritual freedom, it was not free. It cost Jesus Christ his life. While I was still a sinner, Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died as me. And so Romans 10, let me finish by saying this. Romans 10, 9, 11 says that if you confess with your mouth, the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth, I can experience his forgiveness. I can have the gap bridge between where I am and where God is. If I believe in my heart. Because Jesus in his life, he said some pretty amazing things. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus Christ set himself apart from all other religious leaders. Jesus Christ set himself apart, not just within his teachings, but his death, burial, his resurrection. 40 days after that he rose from the dead, he went and he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father. That sets Jesus Christ apart from any other religious leader. No one's ever found his bones. No one's ever found his body. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and he now sits at the right hand of the Father in the position of all authority and power. And what he does is he says, "I offer you. I offer you the gift of salvation. I offer you the gift of forgiveness. I offer you the gift of life and life to the full. I offer you the assurance of eternal life in my presence forevermore." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." That's a ridiculously arrogant statement to make, don't you think? It's either true or it's not. That's the bottom line for me. This is where it came to the crunch for me, if I was to be honest. It's either Jesus, you're actually true, or you're just a raving lunatic liar. As C.S. Lewis would say, he was either lunatic, liar, or Lord. And it's up to us to choose. You cannot sit on the fence. He either is or he isn't. And if you choose to accept Jesus Christ as Lord, yes, the gift of salvation is free, but I'm not going to kid you today, it's not an easy road. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, we're called to take up our cross daily. There is a cost, there is a price to being a follower of Jesus Christ. Coming to church and sitting in a seat once a week doesn't make you a Christian, doesn't make you a follower of Jesus. There is a cost, there is a price to being a true follower of Jesus Christ. The way I see it is that God asks us to give him our all, our whole lives. You go, "Wow, that's a big price." Well, no, what I've found is that I lose nothing. In fact, I've gained so much more. I've gained so much more that I could never turn and go and do anything else or desire anything else, because God is my everything. Jesus is my everything. His presence and his spirit with me is my everything. But just let me finish off by saying Jesus is set apart from other belief systems and faiths because of his birth, because his life fulfilled over 300 prophecies from the Old Testament about who and what the Messiah would be and do. His life on earth, his miracles and teachings that we've gone over set him apart. His death, burial and resurrection sets him apart. Jesus promised to not leave or forsake his followers, and he sends his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection. Jesus promised to return, inaugurate a new heaven and earth to those that choose him during their time on earth, and with that, the guaranteed salvation. We see that Jesus starts a revolution in his time on earth, but it's not a military revolution, it's not an economic revolution, it's not a political revolution. It's a revolution of love, a love that transforms, because love wins. Love wins. So there are some things that set Jesus Christ apart. So in summary today, for me, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not just a box that I tick in the census. Christian. It's a lifestyle. It's my life. It's all that I am and all that I do. I'm called to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my strength. I'm called to love my neighbor as myself. So today, where do you find yourself? Where do you find yourself in your relationship with God? And I know the majority of us in this room have got that relationship with God. But maybe today is just a good reminder about just how amazing our God is and how much we have to be appreciative and thankful and grateful for. And just go, wow, God, may I never get complacent. And let's maybe just be reminded too that if we truly believe that Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven by which man can be saved, that should put a pretty intense sense of urgency in our hearts to want to share his love wherever we go with our whole lives. But today, for me, it's ABC. A, acknowledge that you've done wrong and that you fall short of God's perfect standard. Just acknowledge that you've got sin in your life. I mean, I outlined before, we've all sinned and fallen short. B, as we heard, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he will hear your prayer and he will come and he'll forgive you and he'll give you a fresh start. Today, I'd love to introduce you to God. Introduce you so that you can come and you can say hello and you can start your own personal relationship that God longs to have with you. C is the confession. Part of that belief, the action of that is actually confessing with your mouth that he is Lord of your life. And ultimately, it takes that mysterious thing called faith to be able to believe in what you cannot see. So us sitting here today, it's kind of a weird thing, let's be honest. Faith is just a weird thing. It's like love. Faith is just a weird thing. But in the great words of the philosopher Bono from U2, sometimes it has to be believed to be seen, not just seen to be believed. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes? Heavenly Father, this morning, just thank you for your great love for us. For God so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God, you do not send your Son into the world to condemn or judge the world, but that through your Son, Jesus Christ, we may be saved. And we can live the life that we're created to live, life abundant here on earth. And we can have the assurance of eternal life. This morning, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, as I said, I don't know where you're at with the whole God thing. But today, it'd be remiss of me not to present to you and offer you the greatest gift that you can ever receive, the gift of salvation. So that wherever you stand on this line, however far away from God you think you are, Jesus Christ has bridged that gap. And what God says is, I offer you salvation. I offer you forgiveness. I offer you a fresh start. That I'll take all of that stuff away that separates you, all of your sin, and I will draw you to myself, and I'll begin a relationship with you, and I'll be with you. I'll walk with you. I've given you my Holy Spirit that you will experience life and life abundant, and you can have the assurance of eternal life. Today, I want to offer you that gift to acknowledge, as we all have, that you've got sin in your life, that you believe what I've presented today, that Jesus Christ is the only one that can bridge that gap through his death, burial, and resurrection, and that you would confess with your mouth in a short prayer in just a moment, ask him to forgive you, ask him to come be Lord of your life, and ask him to help you from this day on live a life that's pleasing to him in a personal relationship with him. Is there anyone here today? You say, Phil, that's me. I'm not asking you to become a religious person. I'm not even asking you to join this church. It's not about that. What it is about is you just restoring the broken, fractured relationship between you and God. He's provided the way for that to be healed and restored. And he offers that to you today. Is there anyone here today you say, Phil, that's me? If that's you, just raise your hand. No one's looking around. I'd love to pray with you after this service. Is there anyone here? You go, yep. Just having a look around. No one else is looking around. Just love to give you that opportunity. And if today you haven't made that decision, you haven't accepted that grace gift of God, then I pray that when you're ready and you want to do that, you can have a chat to the person that you came with. You can feel free to give me a call anytime, or maybe you want to come and chat to me after this service this morning. But the second question I have before we close this morning is for those of us in this room where we've kind of allowed sin to increase in our life and God to decrease, and we just know things have come into our life that have started to drive a wedge in our relationship with God. You just know something's NQR, something is not quite right. And I want to give you that opportunity this morning just to recommit your life to Him, to say, Father, yep, I've been stuffing up. I've been making mistakes. God knows that and He loves you anyway. You need to hear that this morning. He loves you. But He wants to deal with that stuff that's in your life. He wants to deal with that sin and get it out of the way so you can walk in a greater sense of clarity and intimacy and closeness with Him. Is there anybody here this morning? You just, stuff started to creep into your life and you just got to get that right before you leave this morning. Can you just raise your hand? I'd love to pray with you before you go. Is there anyone here today? Just raise your hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Awesome. Thank you. Is there anybody else? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus that you, Holy Spirit, are here, that you would come and you just minister your healing power into the hearts and lives of those that have raised their hand right now. And as they have this moment where they just recommit themselves to you, not recommitting themselves to a person or to even a church, they're recommitting themselves to you, Lord, through you, Jesus Christ. So I just thank you. As Romans 8:1 says, there's now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That what's happened even up until this day is behind them. And that, Lord God, in your eyes, you've forgiven and forgotten. And they can just walk in freedom. They can walk in a boldness. That, God, there is nothing that's standing in the way of them being in intimacy and closeness with you anymore. In Jesus' name I pray. We honor you in this place. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.